Welcome to Calvary Church's Sunday service. I am Pastor Frank Termine. I am the pastor of our church, and I want to welcome everybody here today, especially our visitors. And I want you to know, visitors, that there's a lot more to Calvary Church, even right now, than what you see on Sunday mornings. If you send us your email, we'll send you a weekly email, which will detail everything that's going on in our church, and you'll see there is a lot going on right now, and we hope that you would consider being part of our church, and you could do so even right now. God is good, isn't he? He's given us a nice weather, we've got a long weekend, and I just hope everybody enjoys the time that we have and takes a respite from all of this chaos that we have going on right now. Jesus said in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me, you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Even in the midst of a pandemic and an economic downturn, which I categorize as trouble, we can have peace in Jesus. But the key is in Jesus. At the same time, there might be chaos, there might be trouble, but we can have peace when we're in Jesus. So we're in Jesus right now, and I just pray that you would stay in Jesus when you leave here this morning, that you would be in Jesus all day, that you would be in Jesus all week, and if you do, despite the chaos that's going on in your life, you will have peace. And I want to impress upon you the importance of our prayer sheet to the life of our church. We compile all the things every week that we have. God is always working in our midst. We always have something to say thank you for, even in the mission of our church or in the lives of our people. But we also compile all the prayers of our people into a document we call our prayer sheet, and we send it out every Wednesday by email. And as your pastor, I am asking you each and every Wednesday to open up that prayer sheet, even print it out, and pray through it at least once, if not every day, during the week. Now, let me tell you how important it is for you to do so. And it is important. One of our congregants, Arthur Chatfield, lives at St. Mary's Home, which is right down the street, you know, a couple of blocks away from our church. It's a nursing home. And Arthur has been on our prayer sheet the last 2 weeks. Arthur lives in a nursing home, which puts him at risk. He's a little bit older, puts him at further risk. He also has cancer. So that gives him a compromised immune system. And Arthur is also on immunotherapy, more compromise of his immune system. So we've been praying for him for the last 2 weeks because the man next door to him tested positive for COVID-19. And we've just been praying for Arthur. Well, this week, he tested positive himself for COVID-19. Actually, at the end of last week, he tested positive. And so this is very concerning to us. But praise God, his cough seems to be getting better. But we need to pray for him. We need to pray for him for his cancer recovery, and we also need to pray for him from a recovery from COVID-19. And Arthur is just one of the many people that in our church that need your prayers. We have people hurt by this pandemic. We have people hurt by the economic slowdown. Will you please open our prayer sheet this week, even the one you got last week, and just pray through it? And I know you will, so thank you in advance. Let's pray for Arthur right now. Lord God, we lift up Arthur to you. We pray that you would cure his cancer. And at the same time, Lord, we pray that you would cure his COVID-19. Take it away from him, Lord. Bring it back to full health, even now as we speak. And Lord, since it's Memorial Day, we want to pray for all the families that are remembering loved ones that have been lost in the defense of our country. Comfort their souls today. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. I want to read to you Psalm 18, verses 30 to 32. Psalm 18, verses 30 to 32. As for God, his way is perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. The word of the law is flawless. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? The Lord is his personal name, Yahweh. And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. God is perfect, and he wants us to be perfect like him. That's our goal, to be perfect like him. And that's why he gives us his word. And through his word and his power, we can be transformed. We can be perfect like his son Jesus through his word and through his strength. Now, one area that in our lives that needs to be transformed to be more like Jesus is our communication. Psychologists tell us that we have a lot of stressors going on right now during our current pandemic. However, I read this week one of the greatest sources of stress is our poor communication with each other, especially in our households. Praise God, we've been studying biblical communication for almost all of 2020. Great timing. Not my choice, it was God's. And so we continue today in the letter of James to study about biblical communication, because the Bible is filled with advice and counsel about how best to communicate with each other. The letter of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. James 3, 1 to 12. Now, James's letter is written to people who appear to be double-minded. He uses that term a few times. Their lives are part Christian and part worldly. Early in the letter, James writes in James 1:26, he says, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Let me read that again. If anyone considers himself religious and does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Now, in chapters 3 and 4, James is going to give us a corrective on our communication. He's going to give a lot of correctives on our communication. And so we're going to spend this week and the two following weeks working through his counsel. But before we begin, let's pray. Lord, open our eyes to your truth. Give us understanding. Convince us that we are not studying human opinion and social science, but instead the very words of God. Help me to speak with clarity. Constrain me to be faithful, to bring out only what is in the text, nothing more and nothing less. We pray this in the name of our perfect Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all the people said, amen. So we're going to read James 3, 1 to 12. And I always recommend that you have your Bible open in front of you to check out what I'm saying is true. You need to see the word of God for yourself. So chapter 3. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we could turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body. It makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire. A world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives? Or can a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Amen. Now, I grew up in Rochester, New York, in what I would consider a lower middle-class family, and my parents were not adventurous at all. But one year, we got crazy, and we drove to New York City from Rochester, and I will never forget going over the George Washington Bridge as a little boy. I looked out at the Hudson River, and I thought this was the largest river in the world, and I said, oh, my. Years later, Karen and my wife took our kids to a New York State campground called Lake Harris. Now, to get to this campground, you go down this long road, and this long road had a small bridge that crossed none other than the Hudson River. Now, this is way up north where we were. The Hudson River was nothing more than this little tiny stream, and it reminded me of when I saw the Hudson River, this big river down in New York City as a small boy. Now, a few years later, I hiked Mount Marcy, the tallest mountain in the Adirondacks, still farther north. And on the way down the mountain, I passed this tiny little overgrown pond called Lake Tear of the Clouds. And I had to find the outlet for this little tiny pond. This little trickle of water leaving the pond was actually the source of the Hudson River. This is the place where it began. So it was neat for me to see the source of the river that grew into this major waterway a few hundred miles south in New York City. As the Hudson River has a source from which it flows, our communication does too. The Hudson River is fresh water because its source was a freshwater pond in the mountains. And our communication is what it is because of where it or what it flows from. So in our passage today, Jesus tells us about the power of our tongue, and he calls us to follow our communication upstream to its source. And if our communication is not what we want it to be, it is because we have a problem at the source. Since every one of us could stand some improvement in our communication to various degrees, let's all see if James has something for us today. So he begins in verse 1, warning that teachers will be judged more severely. Now we assume that he makes the statement because teachers influence others for the better or worse. It's others that they're affecting. But I think James is broadly saying that all communication is scrutinized by God. And that's because, if you think about it, all communication is designed to influence others. We all influence others with our communication. That's why we communicate. Parents, all of your communication affects your children and your teens. Whether you're talking to them or not, they're always listening. It doesn't seem like they're listening, but they're listening. Remember when you were a kid and the adults in the other room started speaking softly? Your ears peaked up? That's what our kids do. Older brothers and sisters, I want you to know that your younger brothers and sisters are listening and you're influencing with everything you say. Jesus said in Matthew 12:36, but I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Our every word matters to God. Then in verse 2, James says something very profound about the Christian life. So this is pretty interesting, actually. He says, if anyone is never at fault at what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. Jesus is saying that biblical communication is the last frontier of Christian maturity. Communicating biblically is the hardest thing for a Christian to do consistently. He's saying if we can control our tongue, we will have certainly controlled the rest of our Christian life. If we are mature in what we speak, then the rest of our lives and all of our behaviors would already be fixed. Consistently communicating truth and love is the hardest thing for a Christian to do. The rest of the passage explains the power of the tongue. We talk about, you know, how important the tongue is. Now he talks about the power of the tongue. He tells us the tongue has four kinds of power, and we're going to go through each one. Number one, verses 3 to the first part of verse 5. He tells us that our tongues have intrinsic power. Just by their design, they have power. James reminds us about the bits of horses and rudders on ships. If you've ever ridden a horse, you know, here's this 1,000-pound animal underneath you, and you can turn this 1,000-pound with the slightest effort just going like this. And that's because of this tiny bit that's in the horse's mouth can turn this 1,000-pound animal. And it's the same. If you ever see a cruise ship, massive beasts that these things are, comparatively speaking, the rudder's tiny and can turn that whole large ship. Our tongue, this little piece right here, is a rather small part of our body. Yet it sort of charts the course of our entire lives. What we say is powerful. So much of our success or failure in life depends on what comes out of here. Now, Mike Barry is a family consultant, writer, and speaker. One time he was speaking at an event with 2,400 people present. Whole places packed up. His whole family attended, even his mom and dad. And after the event, his father walked up to Mike and said this, and I quote, "As I watched you speak, I thought, that's my son up there. You did great. I am so proud of you." Close quotes. Mike goes on to explain the significance of what his dad said. You see, Mike didn't have a good relationship with his dad. Growing up, his dad was either working all the time or when he was home, he was frustrated, irritable, and angry. And Mike grew up without any attaboys. In fact, he heard a lot of negativity toward himself. But he writes, again I quote, "The healing words my dad spoke that night righted a million wrongs." Close quotes. Our tongues have intrinsic power. Number two, our tongues, because they're so powerful, have destructive power. Verses 5b, second part of 5, and verse 6. James reminds us that a forest fire can be started by a tiny spark and rage over miles of forest. In California, perfect example, wildfires that start just by a spark can destroy land, houses, businesses, whole towns, kill wildlife, and even kill people. Our words can do the same thing. Our communication can reap terrible destruction on other people's lives and also on our own lives. I read an account about a boy recently who grew up being told by his dad that he was a wimp. His father always called him a wimp. When the boy began playing the piano, he was told by his teachers, and his teachers said that he had a real gift, that he had to nurture it. His dad only used that information to heighten his attacks on his boy. Eventually, the boy abandoned his dream of a career on the piano. By the time he was 30, he was alone. And it was only because he didn't have the courage to commit to a woman who was deeply in love with him. See, his father's tongue had destroyed the inner workings of that young boy. He had beaten him down with his tongue. The father had beaten down that boy with his tongue to his inner soul. And so it makes us stop and ask ourselves, how we talk to the loved ones we influence? Have we ever called them stupid or ugly or dumb or lazy? Have we ever really looked into our children's faces when we raise our voices at them? Our tongues are powerful, people, and they can be very, very destructive. Number three, our tongues have uncontrollable power. We get this from verses 7 and 8. Our tongues have uncontrollable power. James reminds us that all kinds of animals have been tamed. Now, if you've ever been to the circus in the past, you might have seen lions and tigers jumping through fiery hoops. Now, I've always stopped to wonder, who was the first guy that thought this was a good idea? Who was the first guy that enclosed himself in a cage with man-eaters and said, okay, jump through these hoops, and after he set them on fire? Now, I have to tell you, that's one of those career decisions that if your first choice doesn't work out, you're not going to get a second choice. But James's point is that we can tame man-eating beasts. But in verse 8, he says, no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. So it causes us to pause and go back to verse 2 where James said, if anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man. So is James telling us that since no man can tame the tongue, then no man can be mature in Christ? Is that what he's saying? Let's hold that thought and come back to it. Let's go on to our fourth point about the power of the tongue. Our tongues have revelatory power. Ooh, big word. Our tongues have revelatory power. Our tongues reveal what is inside of us. Our tongues reveal what is inside of us. Now, he's writing to Christians, realize this, and James forwards an idea that just doesn't make sense to him. His wires are coming out of his head. He doesn't understand it. He says, we praise God in heaven with our mouths, and at the same time, we curse men who are made in God's image. We praise God, and then we curse men who are made in his image. What is going on? He can't understand it. How can we do that? He notes that in nature, salt water and fresh water don't flow from the same spring. The Hudson River is a freshwater, it's a little bit doubtful, but it's a freshwater river because its source is fresh water. Again, writing to Christians, James is saying that praising God and cursing men is like a fig tree bearing olives. Doesn't happen. Not nature. And it's also like a grapevine bearing figs. It doesn't happen in nature. So how can we praise God and curse men who are made in the image of God? Now, Mickey Cohen was a famous mobster in L.A. in the mid-20th century. He was a bad dude. Everybody knew it. But amazingly, he began attending evangelistic Christian outreaches. He even met one time, one-on-one, with Billy Graham. He had supposedly turned his life over to Christ at one event, and that was what was published. However, his behavior never changed. Finally, some Christian leaders confronted him, and this was his response. Quote, Christian football players, Christian cowboys, Christian politicians, why not a Christian gangster? Close quote. Now we sit here and we think how ridiculous Mickey Cohen is. At the same time, we're excusing our non-biblical communication. James ends our passage by saying that a salt spring cannot produce fresh water. So here's the key to the point that James is trying to make in this passage. Here's the key. This is it right here. Our ungodly communication can only be controlled at its source. Our ungodly communication can only be controlled at its source. this powerful, right here, this little tongue, this powerful, uncontrollable, potentially destructive member of our body can only be controlled at its source. And if we stop to think about it, we know this to be true. Efforts to guard our speech are ultimately less than successful. You know, society, our whole lives are built up teaching us to filter our speech. But that only has limited value. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34-35, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Notice Jesus does not say that the good man brings some good things stored up in his heart and some evil things stored up in his heart. He didn't say that. There's a dichotomy here. James's whole letter, the book of James, is about not being double-minded. So we either totally Christian, or at least on our way there, or we're not Christian at all. A salt spring cannot produce fresh water. A pure heart cannot produce false, bitter, harmful speech. A pure heart has nothing to do with harsh criticism, giving and receiving gossip, belittling, demeaning, falsely flattering, lying, or boasting. Pure heart has nothing to do with any of those things. Whatever comes out of the mouth unfailingly reveals what is on the inside. Saints, consistent biblical communication requires a changed heart and mind. Improved biblical communication requires serious soul work in here. And I want you to hear this and hear this well. We won't talk more godly until we become more godly. Let me say that again. We won't talk more godly until we become more godly. But I want you to understand this. Our hearts and minds are still not ultimately our source. They're sort of like that little bridge that I went over where the Hudson River was a small stream, but that still wasn't the source. Our ultimate source is still further upstream from our hearts and minds. And as we are going to learn next week, our ultimate source is one of two things. It's either Christ or it's the world. No other choices. It's either Christ or the world as our source. Our ultimate source is what we fill ourselves with. Our ultimate source is what we feed our hearts and minds with. It's what we meditate on. It's what we dwell on. A person not right with God and not walking daily in Jesus cannot consistently speak pure and helpful words. Inconsistency with God produces inconsistent godly speech. But on the other hand, here's the good news. A person right with God, feeding consistently on his word and prayer that's individually and with others, and walking moment by moment, sensing God's presence with them at all times, will speak pure and helpful words consistently. It will happen because they are in Jesus. Our tongues work right when we are in Jesus. Our tongues work right when we are in Jesus. Again, as I read earlier, Psalm 18:30-32. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. Let me read that last line again. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. It is God. And I want you, that's from the Old Testament, the Son. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in the New Testament. This is how he approached his ministry. Colossians 1:28, Paul writes, We proclaim him, meaning Jesus, second person of the Trinity God. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we might present everyone perfect, perfect in Christ, or in Jesus, same person. So James is correct when he says no man can tame the tongue. But Jesus can. We can't tame our tongue, but Jesus can. If you are in Jesus, your tongue will be tamed. If you are in Jesus, your tongue will be tamed by him, not by you. So if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then I want to recommend two things for you this week. Two things. They're pretty simple. If you don't normally read scripture and pray every single day, both of those things at the same time, read a portion of scripture and pray every day this week. Take 10 to 15 minutes. You don't have to take a lot to start with. See if you see a difference in your communication. See if you see a difference. And if you already read scripture and pray every day, then go to a small group if you don't go to one. Take your spiritual disciplines up a notch. Or go to Wednesday prayer when we have prayer at Wednesday at noon. Take it up a notch. So that's the first thing. Second thing, and this one could be a little bit interesting, give everyone in your household permission to ask you a question. So look at everybody in your household. Say, I'm giving you permission to ask me a question. If some ungodly communication comes from you this week. So you have permission. If I say anything ungodly, you have permission to ask me a question. So if you speak harshly, express anger in a hurtful way, you use biting sarcasm or whatever, here's the question that the other people in your household can ask you. Tell them they can ask you, was that Jesus talking? Was that Jesus talking? And if it wasn't, ask for forgiveness and make a mental note in preparation for next week. And if so, and if you keep hearing all throughout the week from people in your household, was that Jesus talking? Then I think that should speak to you. And don't get mad if somebody asks you that. They're trying to help you. I think if you want, you know, we're under a lot of stress in our households. This is a way that you can help each other. So let's close with the words from a Jeremy Camp song that I like called Christ in Me. His song is actually a prayer to God. So let's use Camp's words as our closing prayer. Would you bow your heads? So come and empty me, so that it's you I breathe. I want my life to be only Christ in me. So I will fix my eyes, because you're my source of life. I need the world to see that it's Christ in me, that it's Christ in me. And can I get an amen on that? Now the service isn't over. Leave here and go on to our next post for musical worship. And don't forget, Children's Church is at 11 a.m. So stay safe and healthy. And God bless you as you are in Jesus. As you are in Jesus all week. Amen.